Okay, thank you guys for coming back. We try to keep you awake after lunch. We're going to talk about apps for office. Who here has built an app for office? Anyone? A few folks? Good experience, bad experience? Do you like it? Not like it? Okay. Okay. So the cool thing about apps for office is that they're starting to build on a platform where they're allowing more developers to get access to Office applications. So it used to be that you had to download an add-in, and you had to build a Visto add-in or VBA solutions in order to extend the Office client. And what they found was that a lot of the support calls that they were receiving were related to Office add-ins or Visto-type custom solutions. And then when Microsoft dug deeper, what they found was that most of the add-ins were doing two things, reading from a document and writing to the document, or writing to one of the applications. So what they decided to do was build a API that allows HTML developers and JavaScript developers to build next to a document, and then they provided an abstraction layer on top of that to allow you to talk to the different documents, so Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. And we're going to talk through that. This is a getting started, so it's really meant to help you very quickly understand how to build apps for Office. On the agenda, we'll introduce you to the app model. We'll look at what is an app for Office. We'll look at some of the different apps for offices. And then how do you get started building applications? What do you need to actually start beginning building your own apps for the Office platform? So the Office 365 development platform really includes a set of clients. And those set of clients are grouped into these areas. The first area here is contextual apps. Contextual apps just means I am running next to your document. Excuse me. So I have a Word document. I'm going to have a contextual app that's going to run on the side of the document. We're going to have also the ability now with Office 365 APIs to call into this information that's stored within SharePoint, within Mail, within your calendar. And from a tooling standpoint, Microsoft Azure can be used to host some of these solutions. You could also host them on any stack that you want, and you can build them using just industry standard HTML5. And of course, Visual Studio. So you do have the ability to build custom solutions for Office that integrate and work cross-platform. Let's introduce you to the application model. So contextual apps allow you to just surface the apps in the Office 365 user interface, allows you to build applications that you then deploy to a tenancy. And once you deploy it to the tenancy, then your end users can use that functionality within their clients, again, cross-platform. So if they're using a Mac, they'll be able to use a lot of these applications. And if they're using a Windows device, they can also use these applications, either in the browser or on the thick client for some of these. And we'll talk about the differences as we move forward. So the thing about the app model, it started with SharePoint apps and then moved on to Office apps. The thing to keep in mind is traditional development for SharePoint was on top of SharePoint. So you built a solution and you integrated it with SharePoint and you built using the SharePoint APIs and you deployed it on top of SharePoint. The new model and the new paradigm for building applications is that they don't live in SharePoint anymore. The applications actually live next to SharePoint, where they're calling into the APIs and they're using SharePoint as more of a data store, if you will. Office apps as well traditionally got deployed as Office add-ins or VBA solutions, and they were integrated with the Office client. Office apps no longer live with the client, they actually go side by side to that particular document. Your custom code is going to integrate with the document through a set of APIs, and you're going to be able to call solutions on the back end, either in your provider-hosted application or external services. The apps are granted permission to SharePoint via OAuth, so if you've seen the OAuth session, it's a very similar concept. If not, we'll talk about the differences between deployment for Office apps versus SharePoint apps a little bit, and then we'll talk about the different permissions for the different items within the Visual Studio manifest. Apps are going to communicate with SharePoint via REST and CSOM, so you're not going to use any full trust code. Nothing's going to be running inside of the worker process for SharePoint. It's going to be running outside of SharePoint. And when you acquire these applications and use them, you're going to be able to get them from a central location, whether it's the app catalog in SharePoint, or you can even put them on a network share and have your end users access them from on-premises. So this is not just an Office 365 only thing. You could also use this on-premises if you had the infrastructure to run it. From a modern app development standpoint, we also have the idea of a store, where if you wanted to build solutions and make them available on the store, there is a marketplace where people can download your solutions, and you can get paid as a developer if you chose to deploy your application there. If we think of the modern app development as really these silos of services, we have products and services, in which case we have SharePoint and Office. In the middle there, we have your apps, and on the side, we have a set of services and data. Those services can come from Microsoft services, or they can come from any other external service, and I'll show you an example of an external service. So first, we'll walk you through how do you add your first apps and how do you use applications. What I'm going to do is open up just a standard Word document, and the way that you access these applications is through the ribbon. In the ribbon, you'll see this option here called Store. My apps would be any apps that you currently have available to you that you've installed in your site or in your Windows instance. So here I'm going to go to the Store, and I'm going to see what's available for my application. In this case, I'm launching it from Word, so it's going to scope to the Word Store. I could navigate through and I could see some things. So let's see this QR for Office. This one's free. So what does this application want to do? It wants to send data over the internet, and it can read and make changes to my document. So for these applications, this is where the OAuth comes in. I am going to ask for a set of permissions. Those set of permissions are going to be either granted to me or not granted to me by the user. If I choose to trust this application, you'll notice that it launches here on the side. So this is next to my document. So here I have a document that I'm working on. This is my document. And the app that I downloaded, this QR for Office, what it does is it generates QR codes for URLs. So that's what this application does. So let's say I want to have an URL for, actually we'll just replace the one that's there, bing.com. This then creates a QR code for it. I can choose different colors with this application, choose a background, the error correction, if I'm printing it on high quality print media, I'll want a higher error correction. And I can go ahead and click insert, and now what you see is I just called an external service, clicked insert, and then it inserted it right into my document as an image. So that's one of the applications that I have for Word. Let's look at Excel. I'll go ahead and open Excel. Go to the Insert tab, so similar experience within Excel. First thing you'll notice is that the Excel, when you launch it from Excel, the store then gets filtered to only applications that are available for Excel. And they won't give me the Word documents that are targeted to that. So let's say that we'll use Bubbles. Again, it's going to ask me for permissions. I'll click Trust It. So I'll select Sample Table. So it looks like this one's provided me a sample table. So here, this one allows me to visualize application data differently. So these bubbles represent the size of the chart. So now it's, you know, pretty cool. I can modify these values. So we can say the bubble color is that, and you know, we'll make Chicago bigger because that's where I'm from. We'll make Boston smaller because we don't like them. And New York, we'll not do that. Seattle, oh, okay, fine. We'll give Seattle, right? So now you see that this thing is interactive and it's moving. And what this is doing something called binding, and we'll talk more about binding with Excel. Let's look at PowerPoint. Go ahead and launch a blank application. Let's go ahead and erase this. Insert. Store. And here, this store is going to be scoped to just things for PowerPoint. I haven't tried this one, so my document timer, we'll try this one. This one's going to launch. Or not. All right, so we'll close that one. Go back here, we'll pick a different one. Word Cloud, I like this one. So what this particular application allows me to do is build a word cloud, like a tag cloud, based on document, based on words. So what I'll do is I'll go out, there's a site called Lorem. There's Lorem Ipsum. Oh, actually, we'll do this. Go to Word. It's a little trick. If you want just a set of sample paragraphs, you can do Lorem 6. It'll give you 6 paragraphs of random Latin text. Paste that in here. We'll go ahead and create a word cloud. What it's doing is it's looking at the words. That's what this app is doing. It's looking at the words and creating a word cloud based on the occurrences of that word in the sentence. As the word occurs more or it's larger, it will show up as larger. So pretty interesting, right? Pretty interesting way of just adding functionality, adding applications and things that I wouldn't normally have as part of my app. And when I'm done with it, I just click close, right? And then it's gone. If I want to bring it up again, here I go to my apps, and then here are the apps that I have installed. So there's my document timer, my word cloud, and my QR office of all my different apps. Some of the development scenarios, there are web and cross-device ready. So the today, Office 2013 is only available for a Windows device. However, they have announced that there's Office for the iPad and Office for the Mac is coming. With the new paradigm as building your applications, the way that I'm going to show you how to build them, you're going to be able to build your apps and use them across all these different devices and surfaces. So not just Windows devices, but also Apple devices. It used to be that pre-Office 2013, you had to extend the Office ribbon, you had to build COM add-ins, you had to do macros and Vistos. They were pretty intrusive. They lived within your application. They were deployed with your app. And it was a very hard model from an IT perspective to deploy and manage. Because you never knew as an application developer whether that person had that add-in installed. If they didn't have it installed, my functionality may be missing. It may not work. When we move over to Office 2013, we still have some of that functionality available. We still have COM add-ins. We still have Visto and macros. But we also have these new paradigms around apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So if you are a traditional Visto Word macro or just macro developer, you can still build those solutions. The apps for Office do not provide a full experience yet for a lot of the APIs. But most of the scenarios that you'll be targeting will be available to you for apps for Office. But there are instances where you still have to build a COM add-in for certain scenarios. Some of the development options, so pre-Office 2013. Here I was building COM add-ins again, macros and Vistos. For Office 2013, I could build desktop apps where we have task pane apps. So I showed you that one. It shows up on the side. Content applications were within the document inside. And then one other interesting one is a mail application, and I'll show you an example of that. With these apps for Office, we're going to be able to have a consistent deployment experience and a consistent usage experience. So we'll be able to use these apps not just within the client, but also on the web. And where that enables some interesting scenarios is especially around Outlook. So if I'm using Outlook and I build an application for Outlook, that application is available to me both in the client and on the web, which means I can use it on the Mac without having the Outlook, the updated Outlook client. Some example scenarios here. These are lots of words. We'll just move forward here. So we have apps for Office, where within apps for Office, we can do things like document building, document assembly. One thing you saw with mine was I added that bubble chart in Excel, so different visualizations, you can download them. You can also build custom document templates for things like content authoring. So if somebody creates a document and you want a particular application available, these applications are shareable now. So you can take these apps, and once you build them and distribute them, if the end user doesn't have the application, it won't break. It'll provide the end user an opportunity to download that app so that they can then use it themselves. And then moving forward up the chain to more apps for SharePoint, extending that document template scenario, imagine things like workflows and custom business processes where you have an external system that's interacting with your documents. The JavaScript API is fairly large, and what Microsoft has done is they've built this application called ZoomIt, and within ZoomIt, it allows you to take very complex views of data and shrink them down to very tiny, very detailed information. So actually, if you haven't seen this, let me go ahead and show you this. This is very interesting. Which presentation? This one? Yes, this is available on the web. It's on Yammer. So if you go to the Yammer network, you can download it. Yeah, so here, this JavaScript object model, so you look at it, right? It's very difficult to see. Still very difficult to see, but what they've done, it's a very cool, interesting way of looking at it. And it's based on the same technology that they use like for Sea Dragon, Photosynth. So being able to take large images and scale them down and get very detailed very quickly. Right, so normally this would be a large printed out document that somebody would take and print on their and tape to the end of the wall, and people would walk by and squint. But now you can look at the API in a very interactive way. So you can see how large the API is, and it's just going to get bigger.
Serverlife 5 years ago.
I know. So what is within an app for Office when we look at it? The anatomy of an app for Office is pretty simple. It's a app manifest, which is an XML file that describes the starting point of your application. That manifest file gets uploaded to the Office Store or the SharePoint app catalog, and that's where end users will download it and use your application. Where the application is running is a web page on a web server somewhere else. So it's a very small footprint. It's not what it used to be, where you would install something and deploy an installer to your application. You saw that I was just able to very quickly add functionality to Office, which is something I was never able to do before. Some of the shapes that you're going to have to keep in mind, task pane apps. Task pane apps are next to the document. They're on the side of the document. Task pane apps are going to be, imagine them as companions. Right? I open them when I need them, and I close them when I don't need them. Content applications are apps that are going to be in the body of the document. The content applications, PowerPoint supports content applications, and Excel supports content applications. That rich visualization that I showed you with the bubbles, that was an example of a content application. A content app lives and travels with the document. So if I send that document to someone else, they do not have the application. Apps for Office will take a snapshot of the app and then allow the end user to download it. It'll prompt them and tell them, hey, if you don't have this app, go ahead and download it from the store. And mail applications are in line in the pane or with an appointment item. And we'll show you these different scenarios. Here we have an example of a task pane application. Lucid Chart, again, lives next to your document. Here's another example of an app that lives next to your document. It's a task pane application, looking at research and then allowing you to copy paste it into your document. It's another task pane application, but now you're looking at it within Excel and allow you to do a dictionary and lookups within Excel. Looking at content apps, we saw this as a map visualization within Excel. Here, again, it lives inside of the document. Content apps live inside and travel with the document. Here's a different one here, a visualization, where you're looking at different pieces of data. It's binding to the data of the document. And then the bubble chart one that I showed you. For a mail application, if we've seen this, if you have Outlook 2013, you've probably seen this one before with the LinkedIn one, because that's one that's pretty common. And what it does is it allows you to wake up an application within Outlook and then do something with it. And we'll show you this in a little bit. Here's one. It's the package tracker application. So this package tracker looks at specific parts of your email. In this case here, what we're looking at is the FedEx tracking number. So when it finds this format, it's going to then wake up your application and then pass what it found to your application, and then your application can then react to that data. In this case, what we're doing is we're showing a tracking number based on the information we found in your email. Here's another one. It is a task pane application that lives next to an email composition application. So when you're composing emails, here you can add, for example, templates. So I can have new templates, and those templates are just very quick things that I can add to my email. So this is another interesting app for mail. So let's show you how to build these quickly. We're going to launch Visual Studio. And within Visual Studio 2013, if you use the Update 3, there's a new set of tools that are with it. If you don't have Update 3 or you don't have Visual Studio 2013, you can download the apps for Office for 2012, but other than that, it's not available. So you need Visual Studio 2012 or Visual Studio 2013. Once you get this, what you get are the templates. So I mentioned earlier that you can still build Office add-ins if you wanted to. Those templates are still available. But here what I'm going to do is use apps for Office. And we're going to build a new Office application. Click OK. It's going to ask you which type of app do you want to create, a task pane app, content, or mail. So I'll go ahead and create a task pane application. And then the next one here is asking you which application do you want to target. With Office applications, when you deploy them, you don't have to target a specific app. However, some apps are only relevant for certain applications. So for example, if you had a dictionary app, your dictionary app might be used across all these different clients. But if you had a PowerPoint image finder application, it was probably only relevant for PowerPoint. So you just pick and choose. So in this case here, what I'll do is I'll choose Word, click Finish. And let's just look at what we get. So it looks like we get two different projects. We get an Office app project and we get a web project. So that's interesting. I'll come back to the Office app one. Let's look at the web one first. When we look at the web one, we have a set of folders here. Scripts, app, content. Let's look at app. And we have home, home.js. If you look at this, it looks just like regular HTML and JavaScript. Right, very simple. We have an HTML page. This home HTML page is going to be my content. So here's add home screen content here. So I'll add some content here. Here is that I built in Moscow. And then get data from selection. So that's interesting. Let's go ahead and launch this application. All I did was change one thing. I just changed the text because I wanted to see, okay, there we go. There's my app built in Moscow. So what does it do? What does this get data from selection do? Go ahead and type something, highlight it, click get data from selection, and we'll see that very quickly Visual Studio gave me a way to just call into my document and get access to my document, read information from that document. You say, that's pretty interesting, but it's boring. What else can you do? Let's do something fun. Hopefully this one works. So this one here is an application that actually calls an external service, and the external service looks at words and tries to find rhyming words. So we'll search for fox, cat, dog. So we'll say, what rhymes with dog? What it's doing is it's looking at other words that rhyme with dog. Okay, so travelog rhymes with dog. Let's see what rhymes with cat. So habitat rhymes with cat. What about fox? What rhymes with fox? Shocks rhymes with fox, so let's do that, right? So you can see that what it's doing is it's calling an external service. Let's look at this application. So here the anatomy is very much the same. So it's just a home HTML and a home.js, but I added some additional functionality. So get data from selection, that still exists. This is just regular jQuery. But the one thing that I do, the interesting thing is in this get rhyme data call. So what I'm doing is I'm actually calling out, let me back up. I'm calling out to this API, and it's hosted at this URL called RhymeBrain. So we'll go see what that is. Laptop. Oh, look, so that's what's coming back from the service. And it's just an external service. If We notice here it's not even on our domain. It's on some completely different domain. But I'm able to pull that service in to Word and now make use of it. So here what I'm doing is just making a call. I'm making sure that the words that you selected are long enough because I don't want to keep hitting this call. So when you're building these applications, if you have these services, especially if you pay for them, what you don't want to do is keep accessing the service. So here, I'm just making sure that you've typed at least three words. And once I get data back, I just generate a HTML unordered list that has some styling. That's it. So pretty standard. We look at the HTML. Here I just have some inline styles. So rhyme text is going to be red. Zoom is going to provide me a transition. Zoom hover is just going to make that effect. Regular HTML, right? There's nothing special here. Let's look at the manifest. What is this manifest that you speak of? So the manifest, we'll look at the XML first, then we'll go back to the wizard. What the manifest provides is information that gets deployed to your SharePoint tenant. So this is what gets deployed to your app catalog in SharePoint, or the file that gets deployed to a network share that your end users can then find. You notice here there's not much information that you need to configure. There's some display names. There's some capabilities. I'll get back to that. There's some default settings with a source location. So look at this source location. And what I want you to notice I'm just going to change the manifest to a regular URL just to show you what happens here. Go ahead and deploy. Close some of these windows here. Hit F5. So you notice, right, it's just an HTML page. That's all that that manifest does. What happens is Office picks that up, makes a call from the manifest into your document, and really all it, this particular end over here, this part, is just an iframe. It's a browser that's hosted within Word and Excel. So very lightweight, not a lot happening.
Does it mean that you can build just HTML, class page, which is embedded in manifest, not an external app somewhere?
So the question is, can I build a application with just the manifest and not have something hosted externally? Probably not, because you need some capabilities, and the manifest actually gets uploaded to the app catalog, so they go into two different locations. The manifest gets uploaded to SharePoint and then gets downloaded to your client. The manifest gets read, and then all it does is call your source location. So it doesn't execute any code. It doesn't do anything. All the manifest does is say, what is it that the application is looking for, and where do I go? So that's all the manifest does. We'll look at one more. Let's look at a mail application. Go ahead and build a new project, Apps for Office. Let's build a mail application just so we can see what this is. And here what we have is, how do you want the mail app to appear? Do you want it to show up when someone's reading a message? Do you want it to show up when someone's composing a message? And then you can also target appointments. So when someone's looking at an appointment, or when someone's composing an appointment, you can do that as well. So here we'll say read, click finish, and we'll see what this looks like. Here again, it's just HTML. Let's look at home, home.js. And here what we get inside of home.js, again, just regular jQuery, anonymous function, it's going to launch. Office.initialize is the function that gets called, that the Office APIs call to actually start running your application. Once your application starts running, call app.initialize, which is just an internal app function here that gets your document ready. And here, display item details just calls display item details. And what we're doing here is we're grabbing information from that word, I'm sorry, that mail item. Let's go ahead and run this. When we run it, it's going to ask us where to log on to. Because it's a mail application, we need a mailbox. So I'm going to log on to my Exchange email account, my Exchange Online. So the question is it possible to collect the Outlook.com? No, not with Office applications. This is just Office 365. Yep. Okay, while this loads, I'm going to need to take a 1 minute break, please. Okay. I'm a little under the weather and. Here, I'll authenticate to my mailbox and it's going to go to the web view. Wait a little bit.
Has the only Exchange account, or maybe any SMTP server account, because it looks like a standard Exchange procedure to connect to any SMTP server.
No, so this one. So the question is, can I run my app for any SMTP server for Exchange? So this is specifically Office 365 and Exchange 2013. So the manifest gets uploaded to Exchange 2013, and then this is an Office 365 feature. So I think this is my app here, this Office App 15. We'll go ahead and click on it. And what it's doing is just looking at information about my email and displaying it here. So let's look at the code. Let's look at what ran this and how this works. So actually, we'll go ahead and set a breakpoint. Go back to the next one. Click on that. Okay. So here we are. We're going to be debugging our application. Here I'm going to look for the office context.mailbox.item, which will provide me an item. So if we look at this, this. All right, so we look at the item. Here are all the properties of my item. There's my item ID, date time created. I have no attachments, but if I wanted to, I can look at the array of attachments. What is the item type? Normalized subject. Who sent it. And so information about who sent this. There's some rich information about this actual mail item. Item.subject, we can see that there, that item.subject shows up. There's getting started with Microsoft Office 365 is the subject of my email. Hit F10. If it's a message, then set the from equal to the from address. If I have a from address, I want you to go ahead and find the display name. So what's in there? What's in the from? Let's take a look. So here's a from. So we have a from. We can choose from that display name, from that email address, or from that recipient type. Here we'll just keep going. Show notification. Pops up this dialog box here. All right, so we have other applications here. We have this Bing Maps. It says they think they found an address. That address is one Microsoft way. If I scroll down, we can see that, oh, there's an address right there, right? So it's reading my email and actually triggering an event based on the contents of my email. Question we normally get around here is my app always reading the email? And the answer is no. The way that this works for mail applications, only for mail applications, is your application manifest determines when Outlook and Exchange will wake up your application. What you do is you create a set of rules. Let's go look at our rules. Read form. So our rule right now is item is a message. So what we're saying here in our manifest is we're saying if the item is a message, then go ahead and activate me. Let's go back to our application. Close it up. Did I close it? Okay, so we'll look at it here. So this is my Outlook client, my actual Outlook client, not the web view anymore. What we notice is that the application is here as well. So what I was talking about earlier, where for mail, you're able to use it on the web and also. Oh, it's not running. You're able to use it on the web and on the client. There's my Office App 15 and Bing Maps. We'll go to another email. This email has Office Apps 15 and Bing Maps. We'll keep going. Now this one only has Office Apps 15. Well, why? Well, because Bing Maps, that application, looks for addresses. And you ask, well, how can it find just addresses? Well, there is something in here called known types. And there are a set of known types that Outlook and Exchange just know about. They read and understand. They understand addresses. They understand contacts. They also understand phone numbers and URLs. So if you wanted to target these specific things in your email, you can. And if you wanted to get even more specific, you can add item matches a regular expression. And you can look for a format or a syntax within your document. What the web client is doing is it's looking for those specific looking at the specific applications, looking at the activation rules, and if it matches one of those activation rules, it will show the tab. Your app is not running at this point. Your app is just available to be clicked on. So here, because I have my app is item is a message, then that's going to show up. I'll show up everywhere. Okay, this one here found an address, but it also found an unsubscribe email. So what is this? Oh, it looks like it's a newsletter. So it looked for information, and it was able to understand that this was a newsletter, and it offered me this application is an unsubscribe application. It allows me to block that sender. So there's different apps, and these different apps interact with each other based on rules. Once I click close, that app no longer has access to my current item. So here, this app does not have access. I click, now it has access. All right, so it's only when the user interacts with that application that it gives you the ability to read that item. You can't just read the mailbox by itself. how do you get started? Well, the first step would be to download Visual Studio 2013. When you download Visual Studio 2013, make sure you update it. Try to get at least update 2 or update 3. From an environment standpoint, make sure you have an Office 365 developer tenant. So as part of the part of this session throughout the last couple days, you should have been able to get information about how to get your own developer tenant. Who did not get information about developer tenants? Who did not? Does everyone know how to get one? Okay. You're going to need an individual developer site collection. You're also, if you wanted to do this on-premises, you can do this on-premises for some of the applications. You won't be able to do mail applications without Exchange 2013. So you would need Exchange 2013 in order to do mail. But if for on-premises SharePoint, you can do apps for Office, upload your app manifest there, and then you make it available in the corporate catalog for your end users. So I did show you this already, how to build your first app for Office. So we looked at that. And we looked at the different ways to build your applications. With the Office apps and getting started, there's a lot of pieces. There's a lot there. And the opportunity to build applications, sell applications, and deploy very interesting solutions for your customers is big. And the fact that you can use the development platform of your choice, you notice that it was just HTML. Just HTML and jQuery, JavaScript. I could build that on PHP. I could build it on Node.js if I wanted to. I could build that in anything, which is good. So now I'm not bound by Visual Studio and .NET. I can build in whatever platform I'm happy with. All right, and that's an introduction to apps for Office. Are there any questions on apps for Office? Yes, sir.
Is there a way to invoke a task pane from a document, some kind of URL which you can just click in the document and it opens the task pane specific to the section?
Okay, so the question is, can I invoke a task pane? Can I open up a task pane from within the document?
And specific with your application.
From my application, yeah. So the answer right now is no, and that's probably going to be that way. The reason is it's a security concern. They want the end user to be responsible for launching the application and interacting with that application. Plus, your application can be closed, right? So, for example, one of the questions that I've received in some cases is, if I have my app, can I put it on the ribbon? Like, can I interact with the ribbon, and can I do something with my custom app so that when users are interacting with my document, I want to provide some custom functionality? That answer is no either. So your for Word, you are constrained to the task pane here on the side. For Excel, you're constrained to the content area, because what happens is you're hosted in an iframe, basically. So if I had to click on a link and launch it, like, it wouldn't, there's no API or anything to launch that. Any other questions? Yep. So you can use what's called a document template, where if you were to save this document and the application goes along with it. So we'll show, see if we can show that. All right, so this one here, we'll save this one. Save it to my desktop. I'm going to uninstall the app. Can't find my app. No, this is my apps. Yeah, so Bubbles is in here. Interesting. It's another one of those strange phenomena when people are watching. So everyone, like this. All right. So if I were to email this document to someone, if I were to email this document to somebody, let's do this, but they don't have it. So I think I have another tenant. All right, so I've emailed it to them. Go to Outlook, so there's the document. We'll take a look at it in the browser. Oh, of course. This is a good, I'm glad this happened, because I do want to show you the management of these for Office 365. So I'm actually glad this happened. Let's see where these applications end up as an administrator. I go to Office 365. SharePoint, we'll see this option here called apps. Here's where I can get access to my app catalog that where I deploy specific apps for my organization. So I go ahead and create a new app catalog where people can upload their SharePoint apps. So that'll provision. While it's provisioning, we'll go over here and we'll configure store settings. So in your tenancy, what you can do after your app catalog is created is you can configure where your end users can actually get apps from. You can choose to shut off the store and they only get apps from internally, or you could choose to not allow them to have app catalogs at all. And have to do what's called a request, where the end user asks for an application, but an administrator has to approve it. As an administrator, I can also go out to the store and purchase apps on behalf of my organization. So if I had an application that I wanted to make available for everyone, I can download it. And then once I download it as an administrator, end users can now reuse that application. So we'll skip past that. for mail applications. Mail applications are going to be managed in two places. One is Exchange, so as an administrator, here organization apps. As an administrator, I can choose to upload apps for my users so that everybody uses them. I can also choose to block apps from here. So here, for example, so Bing Maps, the one that you saw, that one comes out of the box. Suggested meetings, unsubscribe, so that comes with. So this is where you go to configure your mail applications. All right, let's see if our app catalog is configured. Oh, it's not created yet. All right. Well, if you want to stick around, wait for the app catalog to configure, and then we can see what the app catalog configuration is. But in general, you saw that I emailed this item, but since I block apps from the store, the end user cannot download this item and it won't show up for them. So I have to unblock it, but I have to wait for my app catalog to provision in order to unblock it. Okay, there's my app catalog. Apps for Office, if I had an application that I custom built, I can choose to upload it here and then make it available to my end users. Apps for SharePoint are also managed here within the app catalog. So if I have apps for SharePoint that I want to make available to my organization, I would upload them here. All right, so now that I'm here, so I'm going to say yes, end users should be able to get apps from the marketplace. So that particular app is from the marketplace. Select yes. We'll configure that. And then we will cross our fingers. So let's wait for it to finish configuring. Maybe there's a caching problem. But what you saw was that the content application traveled with the document. I was able to email it to someone else and then view it right from within the browser as another user. So that's another interesting thing about Apps for Office is that for content apps, they travel with the document. So end users are able to use them without having plugins or add-ins or anything. All right. If there are no more questions, I definitely appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the day, a good weekend. Thank you.